Thank you for being here today, and I hope that you are ready to really hear about God's true love for girls like me and for girls that you see and hear about, just like on that CBN news piece. I'm going to start out by first telling you about a man named Peter. So Peter was a fisherman, and fishermen are known for being really rough, tough men. They're vulgar. They are the men of men. They're out there on the sea for weeks at a time fishing. They're not someone that you generally probably want to introduce your children to necessarily, but they're out there for a really long time. It's a very physically demanding, rough life. And I think what fascinates me about Peter is that Christ still wanted to meet him. You know, despite how he behaved, how vulgar he was, he was pursued Peter. And I was watching Netflix a few weeks ago, and I was watching the Bible series. If you haven't seen it, it's just a series of Bible stories that you can see. And one of them was on the very first meeting of Christ and Peter meeting together. Take a look at this video.
Do you need help?
I'm not looking for any help. And besides, there's nothing to help with. Hey, what are you doing? You can't just climb into my boat.
You're right. Give me a helping hand.
What do you think you're doing?
We're going fishing.
There are no fish out there this time of day. In fact, there are no fish out here any time of day.
Peter. Just give me an hour. And I will give you a whole new life.
Who says I want one?
I tell you.
There's no fish out there.
What captivated me about that part of that video is when Peter says, "Who says I want one?" Like, I sat there and I imagined, why doesn't he want a new life? Is he curious? Does he feel like maybe he's not good enough? Did he give up hope? And that reminded me of my own life. When I was 17 years old, that's one thing that I tell people, that one of the worst feelings that I've had in my life, and that's when I was sitting in school and I was ditching class, and I'm sitting there and I'm literally just crying in tears, just streaming down my face. And I thought to myself, this is it. It's all I have for me. My purpose in life is to please men. That is all I have been shown. That is what I'm good for. That's what I've been told. That's what I believed. I couldn't find a way out. I had given up hope at that point in my life. See, starting at a very young age, I was being sold to men. It's what we call trafficking. And I was very young. And throughout my childhood, I also had to endure a father figure in my life who just did not care for me at all. Matter of fact, he would tell me repeatedly that I've never loved you and I never will. That's what I heard since I was a small child. I was told, you're going to grow up to be barefoot and pregnant, and nobody's going to ever want you. Like, I was still in elementary school. And then I heard this when I was in middle school. So you can imagine the belief that is being spoken over me as a young child. And so at the age of 14, I couldn't take it anymore. And I probably would have left a lot sooner if it wasn't for my little sister, who I felt like I needed to protect and be there for, but I was about ready to lose it and explode. And so I started running away from home. So at 14 years old, I'm repeatedly running away, being picked up by police officers, being brought back home, begging them not to take me there, because I wasn't only going through the emotional and verbal abuse, but I was going through the physical abuse, the sexual abuse. I'll never forget the day that my father put his hands on my neck and I tried to scream for my mother. And I couldn't, because I couldn't breathe. I have been chased down in cars, running for my life. I shouldn't be going through this as a teenager, but this is what I've gone through. So at the age of 15, as a runaway, I was sitting out in an apartment at the pool, waiting for my friends to come home from school. And that's when this man walked up to me, and he had other kids with him my age. And he started asking me questions. You know, he was friendly. He was probably in his 30s, according to my 15-year-old image of what a 30-year-old man looked like. He was kind of gross. I didn't really think he was that cute. Sorry for all you 30-year-old men out there. But but he was nice. He asked me questions like, "So what are you doing here? I've never seen you around here before. What's your name?" And I'm seeing these other kids with him, and I'm thinking he's safe because there's other kids with him that are like me. They look like me. They're ditching school like me. You know, they seem pretty cool. I can go chill with them. We would get along. Otherwise, I wouldn't have given this man the time of day. But instead, he asked me to come hang out with him in the apartment, and so I did. And that started 21 days of being trafficked again, the second time in my life. A lot of people don't understand how this happens, because I wasn't locked in chains. I wasn't locked behind a locked door forcing me to stay there. Why do kids stay in this? Why do they seem like they want this? And from what I can tell you from my own belief is that I was getting something from this man that I didn't get from my father. I also didn't know God. So to my idea, my view of a father is really skewed. And when I had a father that was telling me, "I've never loved you, and I never will." And then I go to this man, and the first day that I walk in there, he protects me. You see, these kids, they were doing drugs. They lined up some lines of coke. They were going to start snorting this stuff. And he looked at them and he said, "Nobody gives Tony any of this. She's too innocent. No one has ever said that to me before." He would compliment me constantly. "I'm your queen," or "You're my queen. You're special. You're such a good kid. I'm going to protect you." See, when a child doesn't really believe that they're loved or they're valued, and someone comes up and says something like that, I'm gonna fall for it, hook, line, and sinker. It doesn't matter what you're having me do with other men. What matters is that I did a good job, right? That is how much we desire love. So after 21 days, I was recognized because I was on the National Center for Missing Exploited Children's list as a missing child. And that's how I was found, by someone who recognized me. And I was put into a couple of girls' homes. I had been in juvenile detention. I had been arrested multiple times for continuing to try to run away. I was in homes where girls were doing drugs. Men were coming in and buying them. We're sneaking out of the house. We're having fights at night when our house mother would go to sleep. We would do seances and tarot cards. I mean, we were just always up to no good, trying to get our needs met somehow, some way. Very rebellious. Nobody knew what to do with me as a teenager. You couldn't hold me down. And it's no wonder, because for my whole childhood, I have been told that I'm no good. I have been used and abused over and over and over again. Because trafficking, I think, you know, we know what it is when someone says it, but do we really understand what it is? Right? Trafficking is the rape of a child hundreds of times. Hundreds of times. A child that doesn't know that they can get out of this situation. They feel trapped. They feel lost. So that by the time I was 17 years old, I quit fighting back. Because you're bound psychologically in your mind. You can't get out of it. It's so difficult to figure out, and it's so difficult for people to understand exactly what's going on in a child. You know, my story doesn't end there. A lot of people are really surprised that, okay, you're trafficked once, you're trafficked twice. But I had lost so much hope by then, I didn't care anymore. And at the age of 18, I had nowhere to live. I had been passed around from place to place. I had gone through other rapes, other molestations, doing drugs, drinking constantly all day long, numbing myself from all of the pain. And at 18, I had nowhere to go. And so I moved in with the first man that would accept me and take me in. He wasn't that old. And I really liked him. And I was thinking, okay, I'm going to move on with my life. You know, I fought to get to this point in my life. I have ran for my life multiple times, not only from my own father chasing me down in his car, saying that he was going to take me out, but from traffickers, or a pimp, if you'd like to call him, chasing us down. I didn't know what was going to happen to me. All I know is that one day I was sitting inside this home to be sold to somebody else. Let me remind you, I didn't know who God was. But at this time, I was sitting there in the dark, not knowing what was going to happen to me. And I heard this voice that no one else in the room could hear. And it just penetrated my soul. Like, it's, if you've ever experienced something like that before, it's powerful. It is so powerful, and it cannot be ignored. And that voice told me, get out of here now, or you will never be seen again. And I ran for my life, being chased down by these men trying to catch me. God put himself in my life for some reason in that moment. And I didn't know who it was. I didn't know where that voice came from, but it saved me. And now I can look back on that moment, and I know that God saved me there. Why he did it? I'm assuming it's because of me standing right here today. Because we've got to be able to help these girls who are stuck and trapped in this life. We've come out before them. They need people to get it, right? I was labeled as a juvenile delinquent. I was labeled as a drunk. I was labeled as a slut. I was labeled as promiscuous. I was labeled as disobedient. And as soon as we label children with those terms, we don't look and find out, why are they behaving this way? Right? No one wanted to know what was going on in my life. They wanted to label me so they can move on. We're going to fill out the paperwork. We're going to take her wherever someone will take her, and she's off my hands. We have to stop doing that to our children. We've got to stop labeling our kids. They may not be being trafficked. Not everyone's being trafficked. But kids are being hurt and they're being abused. And we've got to stop labeling them and looking underneath the surface. Because I didn't have to go through all of this if someone could have looked underneath the surface of what is happening to me. And that's why you're here today. This is why God has brought you here to hear this message, so that you can learn, so you can understand that our children are in a world that's so difficult. It's so manipulating. So at the age of 18, I went and I moved in with this man. I thought I was free. I got my high school diploma. I tell you, I didn't get it because I did my schoolwork, but I got it. I knew that that was my first ticket to freedom. I had to get that if I was going to do anything with my life. So I move in with this man, and amazingly, unbeknownst to me, I didn't think this was possible. I got pregnant. After all this time, I got pregnant, and that pregnancy, that was my hope, because now I had a child that I could treat and do things with the same things that I wanted to be treated and have things done with me. I could spend time with them. I can play with them. I can discipline them with love, just how I always wanted to be disciplined. I could show them that I loved them. I was so excited. But other people had something else in mind. Never in my life have I ever fought so hard. Never in my life have I ever fought so hard as I did right then, because my boyfriend didn't want me to have that child. But I stood my ground. I stood my ground because I needed someone in my life to give me reason and hope to change. Next thing I know, through a series of events, I'm being held down against my will. And I knew that they were going to hurt my child that was inside of me. And I see this person who's doing this reach into their pocket, and she has a needle in her arm or in her hand. And I just knew what they were going to do. And I screamed and I cried and I begged. I begged for my child to try to save my baby's life. And I said, please don't do this to me. And they stuck that needle in my arm and I was out. And I woke up sometime later without a child inside of me. And from that day on, I blamed myself for years. For years, saying, how stupid can I be? And I did that because my whole life I've been told that. My whole life I've been told that I'm no good. I'm stupid. A word that I heard a lot from my childhood is bird brain. I was called that constantly. So what makes that any different? I had to get out of there as soon as I could. And so I left and I fell right into the arms of a trafficker. And it really took me by surprise, because this man was a retired police officer. This man held a position in his church. This man has been married for many years and lived with his wife. He was helping raise his grandson with his daughter living at home with him. I mean, I really had no reason to believe that anything was going to happen to me. And I remember one time he was building a front porch out in front of the trailer that he lived in. And so I was sitting on the threshold of the front door and my legs were dangling there. I'm this naive 18-year-old girl. And I remember thinking, I wonder if this is what it's like to have a father. I'll never forget that moment. That's what I've wanted and desired my whole life, is to have a father. I needed a father's love. Our children crave that love from their parents and from their fathers. You are so important and critical for their lives. But then that switch got flipped. And through a series of events, it's another way that that trafficking happens to kids. I was trafficked again. But I had a friend come along that helped me get out of that situation, and I don't know if I could have gotten out of it without the help of somebody else. And from then on, I swore that I would never, ever trust anyone again. There is no way. Everything I do, anywhere I get in this life, is going to be on my own and for myself, and I wasn't going to ask for any help, and I don't want your help. And so I worked my tail off. I moved in with a bunch of drug addicts, got them all kicked out. I was like, I don't want to get mixed up in nothing. I am done with people. Worked minimum wage, but let me tell you, I was very tempted to go walk in that strip club. I am literally digging through the couch for a quarter so I can go buy that $4 for $1 burrito at the grocery store. Maybe some of you can relate to that, but I was dirt poor. I lived in the hood. People got shot at. I've been shot at. I remember one time, the first time I learned about trafficking, because that term wasn't around when I was a kid. And remember, I was told I wanted this. No one was holding me down. And so a lot of these kids that are being trafficked don't self-identify. I didn't self-identify. But one day this girl came running to my house. She had been kidnapped from Mexico, didn't speak any English, and was being raped multiple times in the house behind me. She had escaped and trying to get away. That's where I learned about what trafficking was. It's an international problem. It's staring at me right in the face, and I couldn't even recognize it. So one day I walked into a college, and I knew that I couldn't live off minimum wage the rest of my life. And I fought for my way through my education. They helped me fill out the applications. I had to start out with high school level classes. I mean, that's what I tell these girls that I work with. I'm like, don't give up. It's okay if you have to start down here. Because if you don't give up, you're gonna make it up here. You're gonna reach your dreams and your goals. You just can't stop fighting. You can't stop fighting. See, I started a program called the Survivor Sisters Leadership Program, where I hire women like me who have gotten out of this lifestyle, and we go inside the juvenile detention facilities and the correctional facilities, which is a prison for children. It's the only prison left open for female juvenile offenders. And some of you think, oh, well, that's where they should be, right? They're bad kids. They've committed crimes. They need to be locked up. And yeah, I'm not denying that. That may be true for some of them, or even a lot of them. But most girls that are trafficked and that are locked up, they committed a crime under the duress of their trafficker. Do you know what that means? That means that they were so scared that they would lose their life that they committed the crime that this man wanted them to do. And guess who's being punished for it? Not only being raped multiple times, 10, 15 times a day, 5 days a week. But now she gets to spend time, years sometimes, in jail for committing a crime to save her own life. Like, that's why I'm there. That's why I'm there, to let these girls have no hope. They have very little hope. They need to know that they can be like me, that they can be like the other survivors out there. And so the state came to me and they're like, this is working so well. Can you do it in the detention facilities? I'm like, heck yeah. So we've got these groups all over Texas where we're helping girls and changing their thought process, helping them break that trauma bond so they can get out of the life. But before I go any further with that, I want to show you the rest of this clip about Christ meeting Jesus and what happens here.
How did this happen? What did you do?
I'm giving you the chance to change your life. Peter, come with me. Give up catching fish, and I will make you a fisher of men.
What are we gonna do?
Change the world.
I'm giving you a chance to change your life. See, this isn't just for me. If my life can be changed, of where I've came from, what I've done, what's happened to me, all the times I've tried to kill myself, the depression, the self-harm, the hate that has been inside of me, that's not just for me. We need you. These girls need you. Other kids need you. God wants to change your life. And all you got to do is to be willing to take that. God doesn't force this on you. He never forced it on me. I didn't know who he was, but I know looking back that he had always been there by me. And he's been watching. And what he did is he took all that pain and he made it and used it for good. He used it for good. If God can take that from me and my experience and all the other women I know that have been trafficked and raped and hurt and beaten and use it for good, he can use it for your life too. You've just got to be willing. And I know that's hard because I was mad at God. I was furious. Not only did I not want people in my life, but I didn't want God in my life either. I thought he was good for other people, like all you crazy people out there, right? I'm like, y'all need church, okay? Just go to that building over there, but I'm good. I don't need it. I'm doing just fine on my own. God wants to change your life. Genesis 50:20 is my favorite verse, and it's interesting where this verse is placed because it's in the very beginning of the Bible, and it's the story of Joseph. If you know anything about Joseph, he is the first one in the Bible that they talk about trafficking, right? Joseph was trafficked. His family, his brothers sold him. And he had this excruciating trafficking experience. And you know what he said through all that, which just amazes me, is what Genesis 50:20 says. You intended to harm me. He's talking about the enemy. That's what he was doing to me. You intended to harm me. He wants to pull me as far away from Christ and from God as he can. But God, he still loved me. He still loved me. I didn't deserve it. I certainly didn't earn it. Matter of fact, I accepted my place in hell before I met him. But God, he intended it for good. The saving of many lives. And I need all of you to be a part of that. These girls are sitting in the cold, dark, just ugly place in prison, in detention. And their eyes, when they look at me when I'm leaving, I don't want to ever see those eyes again because they're just yearning, don't forget about me. Don't leave me. Please come back. So I keep coming and lives are being changed. These girls are starting to sense the love of God and that they can have this hope too. But we have approximately 79,000 of these girls and boys who need us, who we haven't found yet. They're still out there, just in our state alone, just in Texas. This doesn't include the rest of the United States. And one way you can do that is by helping them know what happened to them. They need to understand what happened to them so they can know that this isn't their fault. So they can know that they're loved. So they can learn what real love is. And so that's what I ask of you today, is to help a girl understand what happened to her. After the service, you can pre-order a book at cost that we can give it to a survivor. It's a book that I wrote because there's nothing out there where it combines all these different type of trafficking experiences. And then plus, what's the healing process like? Because it's you have to have a lot of courage to go and talk about what's happened to you and bring up all this pain and mourn it out to God. Mourn it out to God Because you know what he's going to do in return? When you allow him and give him and make him just take that pain away, he is going to fill you with the comfort and the love that you've been looking for your whole life. Your whole life. So if you ever want to be loved like you've never been loved before, I want to encourage you to take that scary step of releasing that pain to God that you have inside of you. And help me help these girls do the same way. Let's pray. God, I don't think I could ever thank you enough for what you've done for my life, for the position that you've put me in, someone who's from nothing, someone who's been told she's a nobody her whole childhood, to know that I'm a somebody. I'm somebody to you, God. I just ask that every person here today is just blessed with that knowledge that they are somebody and there is a purpose for them, and that every survivor of trafficking watching this and hearing this and will go through the survivor group, they will know that too. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for loving us. In your name I pray. Amen.